Thank David and Tim for the nudge to get back up in front of you and speak. Sometimes that's what it takes. I don't always volunteer. But if you know David, you know how he volunteers you. So it helps. You can tell he's been a boss before. What days are good for you? How about these? Okay, good. So, and I appreciate how he works in Alabama football to every Sunday morning, and I would be amiss not to talk about Auburn, and I guess they were kind of sojourners in the playoff hunt, and now they are gone away to somewhere else. That I got my dad here this morning, I can say that. But seriously, when I say the term pilgrim, what do you think of? What comes to your mind? Maybe, you know, we just had Thanksgiving a few weeks ago, and maybe your mind goes to that. Think about the people wear the little black hats and the black and white, a little neat little picture that we got from school as we were growing up. When I think of Thanksgiving, my mind goes straight to the food, obviously, that we had and all the stuff that goes along with that. But what I want to talk about is something that Kevin Clark brought up during the symposium. He talked about being a pilgrim as a mindset. Now, we are called pilgrims and sojourners in the Bible, but I guess I read that a lot and I kind of thought I knew what it was, and I know what a pilgrim is and what a sojourner is. But to really think of that as being our mindset as we live in this life. The idea that as Christians we are called to be pilgrims and sojourners, but again, making that our mindset and our focus as we go throughout life. Now bear with me, I have numerous scriptures and I've prepared a scripture sheet, so I won't have to flip around and take up time, and I may get lost on the scripture sheet and I may not. We'll see what happens. But there are numerous scriptures that talk about this concept, and just a few of them are 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 13. It says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and for your own we have given you, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Psalm 39 and verse 12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. And do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were." Then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that I seek a homeland, and truly if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Those are just a few verses that talk about us being sojourners and pilgrims. There are a lot of them. If you go in and just do a search, you're going to find a plethora of verses. So let's talk about some of the boring stuff. Pilgrim, the Greek word, is peripedemos. Actually, it's a combination of three words, para alongside of, epi means upon, and demos is used in biblical Greek of the people of a heathen city. Look at Thayer's definition. He says, "One who comes from a foreign country into a city or land to reside by the side of the natives." And the New Testament is a reference to the heaven as the native country, one who sojourns on earth. One who stays in a place as a stranger or a visitor, to describe Christians whose final citizenship is in heaven and who are regarded as temporary dwellers on earth. Temporary dwellers on earth. That this is not our home. This is not where we want to be. It's not where we're going to stay. So what is some evidence that this is not our home? Well, for one thing, we know this earth is going to be destroyed. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So the earth is going to be gone. It's not going to be here anymore. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, "While we did not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So that's a big indicator that this is not our home. The earth's not going to be here forever. Whether we leave it first or Christ returns while we're still here, it's going to be gone. You read a lot of, some people believe there's going to be a new earth that people are going to dwell on. And we're told here that earth is going to be gone. Our home is with God in heaven. Look at Ephesians 2:19. One scripture I forgot to put on here. I knew I'd mess it up. I'll get my wife to proofread my things. Ephesians 2 and chapter 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's where our citizenship lies, is with the household of God. Our citizenship is going to be with God in heaven, not here on this earth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 through 9. We're going to kind of look at this and break this verse down. It says, for we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. The first part of that verse tells us that God is the architect. God is the builder of our home, of where we're going to be. Our home is eternal in the heavens. It's going to last forever. It's endless. It's not going to be burned up or destroyed like this earth is going to be. Verses 2 through 4 tell us while on this earth we're going to be subject to trials and afflictions and sufferings. And as Christians, we want relief from those things. That's where our changing of our mindset into being a pilgrim and a sojourner here comes into play. We want relief from those things, and there's only one way for us to get relief from those things. But again, God doesn't promise us that life is going to be easy here. We're going to have to deal with all kinds of stuff. In verse 5 of that, God is preparing us for immortality. In verses 6 through 9, we have this purpose and goal as well of obtaining a heavenly home. So we make it our aim to please God. It's Paul's point, walking by faith. Our faith regarding our heavenly home directs our walk. Because folks, we know if there was such a place on earth that people would run each other over trying to get to it. There's nowhere on earth that we can go or we can call home that sounds anything like what's described in 1 Corinthians that God makes, where everything is eternal, where everything is going to be great joy and happiness. Because again, if there was such a place on earth, then that's where we would already be. There would be no point to anything. So if we start looking at that, and that's some key information that we have, we know that our home is not here, that is in heaven. But what do we do with that information? So now what? How do we live as pilgrims in this world? How do we change our mindset to that of being a sojourner, of this not being our home? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. This is going to be the crux of our lesson here this morning. Is that I think everyone here understands that this is not our home. Everyone understands that we want to be in heaven. That's where we want to go. But how do we do that? How do we change our mind? We're told that we're supposed to renew our mind daily. I think this all starts with this, of changing our whole mindset of being a pilgrim or being a sojourner here. Look at 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter here gives some instruction. There's a lot of instruction here in just these two verses, and we're going to break that down. He starts out there in verse 11, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, and this is the mindset that, we have to adopt. We have to change our view of things and how we think about ourselves. We have to think of ourselves as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. If you look at Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2, he tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not supposed to be wrapped up in things of this world, and I'm not saying that we don't be in, that we're not involved in things that are going on in this world, because we live here. But we have to be careful how wrapped up in those things do we get. We have to remember that Satan is all around us, so we're really kind of on enemy territory, on enemy turf here. Because we know that he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whomever he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Having the mindset of a pilgrim should help us endure any hardship that we may face. I started thinking about this and this topic with things that have happened in my own life. Things that we have dealt with here. Passing of loved ones. Things that are hard for us to deal with. But if we can change our mind and start thinking of ourselves as pilgrims, that this is not going to be the end, this is not it, maybe that can help us just a little bit. That there's something better waiting for us. We're not going to be stuck here and dealing with these things. Look at 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if it need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you think about pilgrims, they don't get attached to the country that they're passing through. They have a destination in mind, and that's where they were trying to get to. You know, I remember when I was actually competing in martial arts a lot. I haven't been doing much of anything here lately, but when I was competing a lot, I always knew when I had a tournament coming up, I trained a lot harder. Because you knew you had a goal set, and so I knew I had a lot of work to put in, and I trained a lot. I mean, she knows when I was doing it. Because I even lived at the karate school, so we just walked right next door to the four and trained all the time because we had no money and nothing else to do, I guess. But that's what we did. We knew we had a tournament coming up, and if you wanted to win, and the fighting is what I like to do then, not so much now. If you wanted to win, you had to put the work in, and I knew I had a goal set, so it was a lot easier to train harder. So I set goals for myself. So I think that's what we need to do here in this life. That's got to be our goal, is to get to heaven. And it's going to be a long road, maybe for some of us, and maybe some of us it isn't going to be that long. We don't know. We talked about before when I spoke to you that God has promised us two things, that we're going to die and we're going to face a judgment. When those things come, we don't know when that's going to be. It could be today, or it could be, let's say I'll be 40 in February. So that's maybe half my life gone. Maybe another 40 years. I don't know. So we have to change our mind and put that goal up in front of us so we can try to reach that and to work hard for that. But again, we have to be careful not to get too wrapped up in the things that are going on today. And that's difficult. You know, you're thinking about politics. people get really upset when you talk about they get really involved in politics, and I don't think there's anything wrong with getting too involved, but we have to be careful how involved we get. And there's a line there, and that's probably something for each person has to decide on for themselves. I think we have a duty here to our country and to things that we're doing here in this life, but we have to be careful how wrapped up we get. We see now politicians and celebrities being accused of all kinds of things. We talked about this morning. How wrapped up in that are we? Everything else that is going on. The new thing now is I saw the Pope's wanting to change the Lord's Prayer. If you haven't read that, how wrapped up are people going to be about that? You know, the Pope really can't change anything, but that was the latest thing I saw yesterday. So I think we just have to be careful with that and keep our goal in mind. And again, change that, our mindset into this is not our home. You know, we always say it, but are we living like that? Have we truly changed our mind to believe that and to put that in the forefront, to have that goal set and to work towards that goal? Going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, there, the second part of verse 11, he tells us that we have a war to fight. It says it's to abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain means to hold oneself constantly back from. Now, this is a lifelong struggle. You know, we used to talk about in the young adult class, I think some people have a view that once you're baptized and you come up that you've got the Superman cape on with the big C on your chest and that you can just go and fight everything and everything is just going to be just fine. That God's just going to take care of it. And He does to an extent, but we still have work to do, that we have to abstain from these things. We have to put up a fight. Because we know what happens if we give in. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5 and verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We talked about this morning, people haven't changed very much. We see this written here thousands of years ago about people, and people were the same. Today, have the same problems, the same issues. Technology has just changed. But we have to learn to abstain from these things. And we can't do it by ourselves. We have to rely on Christ to help us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're told in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And again, this world is not our home. So we have to be careful, again, not to be concerned about material possessions. Again, getting wrapped up in the things that we see going on around us. We have to be separate from the world, as we talked about in Romans 12 already, verses 1 and 2, where we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We must keep our mind on things above. Keeping your nose in the Bible, learning, surrounding yourself with people of like faith, so we can all work towards that goal. First part of verse 12, back in 1 Peter, he tells us there's a lifestyle to maintain. Now, we should be living lives marked with good deeds, doing the Lord's work every single day that we're here. Because you never know who's watching you, for one thing. It's not to boast before men. But you're going to be an influence to somebody, whether good or bad. It's usually sometimes that first impression is people catch you on a bad day. If you haven't been there, probably you will be one day. I hope not. But you're going to influence somebody somehow with your actions. So we ought to keep that goal in mind and change our mindset to being a pilgrim, to abstain from fleshly lusts, to make sure we're fighting that fight so that our actions will be good, so others will see that and be influenced positive for them. We're to be light of the world. Look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That doesn't mean just working good works so that people can see it. That's not what it's talking about. But we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. He tells Titus in chapter 2 and verse 6, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Now let that be said of us, that that's the mindset that we're taking on. This is not an instruction to Titus, I don't think. That's to everybody in this room. That we are to be a pattern of good works, so nobody can say evil of us. The latter part of verse 12 there, he says, there is a day to remember. And when I was studying this, I even texted David to make sure I was on the right path with this. About the day of visitation, and there's different interpretations of this part of the verse. Some say it refers to Christ when he returns for the final judgment. Some say it refers to any time a Christian's actions can be called into account. And I think both of those work. The text doesn't really bear it out either way. But if we change our mindset to being a pilgrim, if we're fighting the fight and we're maintaining a good lifestyle and doing good works, no matter what happens here, whether our actions are called into account or the day of judgment comes, we're going to be all right. Either way, we must live our lives knowing that we will face this great day of visitation no matter what. Again, we've been promised two things. We're going to die and we're going to face the judgment. If we're living a life like this, if it happens, then we're going to be ready. We're going to be able to stand before God in confidence. If not, we're going to be able to stand before God in total fear. So if we're going to reach our goal, it all starts with changing our mind. Thinking of ourselves as pilgrims or sojourners here on this earth. You know, again, God didn't ever say life was going to be easy. We're all going to have our different trials and tribulations that we've got to deal with. Some of them we can face together. Some of them are going to be all individual. But we have to rely on Christ. We have to rely on fellow Christians. That's why we come together. It's not just because God wants us all here and sing songs and have a good time. It's because we need each other to build each other up. I want to finish. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed has foreordained before the foundation of the world, but has made manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This morning, have you begun your walk with God by obeying the gospel? Really, the simple question is, if not, why not? If you have you allowed things in this world to get you off track, to change your mind from being that pilgrim and sojourner where you are too wrapped up in things that are going on in this life that are keeping you from doing God's work here, from being that shining light. If you have, then we're here to help you this morning, any way that we can. That's why we sing a song, we stand up. That's the first step, is getting up out of that pew. The next step is just coming down in front. Nobody here is going to judge you one way or another. If you can come forward and either want to obey the gospel or confess any sin that you may have this morning and you need some help, just come forward and sit on the front as we stand and sing.